Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Cultural Marxism, also, you and I have had several conversations where we both express a, I think, valid fear that Islamism is also on the rise. And that Marxism, cultural Marxism, is certainly a departure away from the faith that kept Christendom free from Islamic takeover, is not going to assist in dealing with that problem. That's still looming out there. I mean, we're being assaulted. You're very soon, because of the demographics, Muslims will be in significant number in many countries in Europe, to do something that their forefathers could only have fantasized about, and that is to make Islamic states like Sweden, which is probably going to happen. Unfortunately, maybe even your home country, Denmark, may fall. Finland might fall. I'm pretty well convinced that London will that England will begin to fall. Whether or not they raise an army to combat it is another question. So you have it on this front. You have the attack. And then you have the attack of the cultural Marxists, as you point out. These are all things that come from Satan. These are all the fruits of believing that the devil doesn't exist, and that he doesn't pose any fear to us, and that we can manage our own affairs. In other words, they are, as you point out, they are flights away from Christendom, and from what is needed is a Christian response to both fronts. And I don't think we're going to get it. As you point out, the numbers just aren't there right now, are they?
With God, I mean, miracles can happen. But I'm afraid that people are so hardened in their hearts, so they would rather lose the freedom to, I would say, be submissive to Islam than go back to the church. I am afraid that we have lost our faith so much that people are so hardened, so they're rather... But, I mean, people are very naive. They do still believe that Muslims or radical Muslims,
right,
would adjust and become secular like us. They still believe in that. But the most scary thing is that secularism, militant secularism, atheism, those radical leftist, Antifa, and those kind of movements, they are in bed with the radical Islamists, because somehow they have joined forces to destroy the Christian culture.
They have.
I think that even though that those radical Muslims, they are against everything that the leftists are for. I mean, all these kind of rights. I mean, Sharia law does not allow that. And yet, they are helping each other. I have no idea why, but I can only see a spiritual explanation, and that is that their hatred, I mean, the left's, the Marxists' hatred against Christianity is so strong that they would even join forces with radical Islam.
Yep.
And that's really scary. I think they have a kind of perverse joy to see how the radical Muslims are destroying Christianity. because they hate Christianity so much. And that's also why they hate Russia, because they can't forgive Russia that they threw out Marxism and communism and now embraced Orthodoxy. I mean, that's why, that is the real reason why we see all this Russia bashing. It's because they hate Russia for not anymore accepting the Marxist ideology. That's why they hate Russia. Not because Russia is any danger or any enemy to us. On the contrary, as a Christian, we should, you know, we should feel that the Russians are our allies in this battle, because we're certainly not going to be able to fight this battle on our own. We need to team up with Christians in other places. And the Russians, they're very tough, because they have suffered a lot and they have been through this. I mean, the church in Russia has been through this that we're going through now. So they have some experience with this. So we should listen. I think we should listen to their experience and see. But, you know, the interesting thing is also that in Russia, the communists couldn't really kill the faith. There was an underground church.
Right.
And the faith was very strong, even though it was mainly, I mean, the babushkas that took care that their grandchildren was baptized. You still have a whole generation of people in Russia today that are secretly baptized by their babushkas, by their grandmothers. And these are people like Putin and this generation. He was also secretly baptized. His father didn't know anything about it because he was a member of the Communist Party.
Okay.
But anyhow, in the West, Marxism, and that's one of Bezmenov's points, is that they were much more successful in the West because they were able to infiltrate academia, the universities, the media, the entertainment industry, everywhere, even the church. So it was much more effective here, and there were no counterbalance. So the faith here in the West was much easier for them to kill than in Russia. And now you see, it's the old Eastern European countries and Russia that has no problems with Islamic mass immigration, because they simply say no, because they have the Christian foundation. So that's really completely, I mean, absurd, or more or less, that those people who have gone through so much persecution,
right,
because of Marxism, today they have a much stronger faith than we have, because we lost the faith, because, you know, our own intellectuals that was inspired by Marxism and were Marxists, they did the job for the Russians.
And now
these people are in the government, they are in the media, they are at universities, they're everywhere. You're stuck with them, like Bezmenov says. You can't do anything about it. It takes a whole new generation. But who is there to educate this new generation with patriotic values, with Christian values, with eternal moral values? Who's going to do this job? I don't know.
Well, some of us are trying to step into the breach and are reaching out to ask people to join us. I mean, by definition, we have a channel, and it's called the Crusade Channel. I mean, crusades are, the term crusade basically comes from the term crucifix, and it's what those warriors took. That's why they wore the crosses on their chests and on their shields when they went into the Holy Land to go get the relics back and to go retrieve somewhere on the order of a million Christians that had been captured by Orthodox Muslims and impressed in various conditions. So we have a bit of a crusade going here, and I think that there are crusaders out there, Eben. And as you said, you know, God can all. And by the way, Eben Tranholm is on the Skype Maker hotline with me and is our European correspondent. There are those out there that are crusading again for the truth. And as you point out, you know, God can do this. God can work a miracle and can revive the faith like that overnight, if he chose to. But what appears to be happening, and it's not lost on me and shouldn't be lost on anyone, on any Christians out there, that this is happening in 2017. It's 100 years after Our Lady appeared at Fatima. I mean, she comes to Fatima, Eben, almost to the day the Red October Revolution starts. And for 6 months prior to October 13th and a miracle of the sun to prove that she meant business, and that it was not a coincidence that she was, you know, just lounging around in heaven and needed a vacation in Portugal, to drive the point home almost to the day after the miracle of the sun is when the Red October Revolution that you wrote about began. Here we are 100 years to the day afterwards, and the errors of Russia have certainly multiplied themselves, as she predicted that they would. What are the estimates? 150, 175 million dead between Mao Zedong, the Soviets, and the Germans. And now here we are on the threshold now of, as you point out, a cultural Marxist takeover that is not being implemented. I think this is the scariest part about it. It's not the government that's doing it. It is Apple Computer and Google and Microsoft and all these other multinational corporations.
Yeah, but the governments are behind them, or they are, or even the governments are controlled by these organizations. So they are linked somehow, in my opinion.
Yes. No, I concur. If you'd like to call the program, or if you have a question, go to our chat room at MikeChurch.com. Click on the Mike Church Show live chat, and you can go in there. There's no charge associated with that. The chat room is free and it's open. If you have a question for Eben, I would be happy to reveal it or to relay it. This is from a mutual friend, Brother Andre Marie, and he has a woman that he interviewed. I don't know if you know who Micah Hixon is, but she wrote this. Your piece and her piece are almost identical, so I think there's something going on here. Hers is titled "The Roots of Violence is the Hatred of the Truth: Dialectical Neo-Communism in America," and she wrote this in part. I thought you'd find this interesting. Organizing revolution and organizing resistance means, in all of these cases, and she cites the Bolshevik revolution as one, that there is an elite, this is what you just talked about, Eben, that there is an elite or oligarchy who makes those groups aware of their dispossessed status and organizes them for resistance. None of these revolutions happen naturally or spontaneously. They were instead organized by a small elite, the agents of revolution, agents of change or chaos managers. And such an elite always needs money in order to be able to reach and influence those marginal or unjustly treated and discontented groups. Thus, every revolution has discreetly in its background the financial men. Karl Marx's companion, Frederick Engels, used up his father's fortune in order to support the author of Kapital, Das Kapital. The Frankfurt School had the multimillionaire Felix Weil as its financial supporter. Today, the name of George Soros will also likely be known to many of us. He is a great supporter of people in of PICO, that's People Improving Communities Through Organizing, and of Black Lives Matter, which has been in the middle of the anti-Trump protest. Thus, from the very inception of these largely left-wing revolutions, they have to deal with the paradox that they are heavily relying on financial capitalist forces that are, in principle, a contradiction in themselves to what these restive and discontented movements stand for. So there she refers right back to the multinationals who we were just talking about, who are in cahoots with the elites that are planning this and are perpetrating it, which you believe are government men.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it's a huge complex, and they're really deceiving the world because they are trying to control us by freedom of speech. I also wrote another piece called "Stalin, Joseph Stalin Would Have Loved Facebook," because everybody is talking about themselves and they're putting it out, and all these information is being stored. So it means the day that they want to come and put you to jail, they have everything on you because you have given it voluntarily. I mean, so it's a fantastic tool to control everybody and to know everything about everybody. It's really good, and it can be really highly misused. And I'm sure they're going to do that. So right now they are creating all those networks to control the world.
Right.
It's not a matter of free speech. And like Besmanov said, one day they're going to stop you from speaking the truth or whatever you think is the truth, because there will be no mercy, he said. You will be in camps, and they will take over. You're just useful idiots if you believe in that. So every time you post something on Facebook, you should think about, do I really mean this so much that I want to go to jail for it one day?